Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Thursday morning. And it is Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you doing this morning?
Doing very well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, let's start on the NFL trade deadline, which is coming up on Tuesday. Number one, I guess in general around the league, how active do you expect it to be? And building off that, number two, the Titans basically have like one trade piece that could be of actual significance, and that's Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
And they have pretty much said publicly that they're not interested in trading him. Do you think that is a mistake? How do you view the Jeffrey Simmons part of this if you're the Titans?
The deadline in general, it's pretty slow, honestly. It's been, there's no trades that it really slows down after Tuesday of this week because everybody kind of gets into their game planning and everybody's moving forward. And so it'll really pick up obviously after the games wrap this week. But just in general, when you talk to teams, I think because of the parity, you know, so many teams are still sitting there in a holding pattern wondering, okay, so are we in it now? Like, what does this look like for us? I mean, most of the AFC North, other than the Steelers, I mean, you could argue that all those teams should be thinking about offloading players, and yet all of them are still sitting there. You know, you got all these teams like 3-5 that are like, hey, we could still win this division. Like, we're not that far back. And so, you know, I think that has a little bit of a chilling effect. I think the outcome of this weekend's games could loosen up the market pretty considerably, but it's slow. It's like, you know, a lot of the players, you know, Trey Hendrickson being banged up, Jeffrey Simmons not being available, which continues to be the party line out of the Titans. I just don't think there's a ton of big trade pieces out there right now. And everybody's looking to do these pick swaps rather than, offloading, just a player for picks. And you talk to some GMs and they're like, yeah, you know, these pick swaps, like some teams are trying to get, they're trying to do pick swaps for talented players. And some of the GMs are looking at it like, I'd rather just, keep this guy and let him fall into the comp formula at this point. Like, the pick swap's not really that attractive to us. And it's just slow right now. And, it kind of feels like there's a lot of bit players. If there is action, I don't know that any huge, pieces really get moved. And then as for the Titans, Simmons, I truly thought when Callahan was fired, I thought, okay, they're going to get calls on Simmons, and it makes sense, depending on how they're viewing their window, for contention and being competitive, it makes sense that this guy would get dealt now because he's, going to be 29 years old next season, and he's got a couple years left on his deal. So that's attractive to teams to at least have some control. Although I think everybody kind of knows they'd have to do a new deal if they brought him in. So maybe that's not as big a factor as I thought, but everything I have heard about the Titans from what I understood is Simmons is not going to be dealt, and young core is not going to be dealt. But if you want to make a call on any veterans, you want to make a call on anything but Simmons and young core, the Titans are hunting draft picks. They want draft picks, they want capital so they can, make hay with as big a draft class as possible. And that's just kind of where it stands right now. Could that change? I still think it could change. If they get a realistic, strong offer, I think they would have to consider it. And to me, considering that, I was talking to a GM and I brought up, I said, we're kind of going over what teams had available, who they're shopping, kind of what teams are looking for. And we started talking about the Titans, and I was like, hey, from what I understand, they'd be willing to take some calls on, some of their veterans. Maybe Kevin Zeitler is a guy that some teams would be interested in. And he said, look, teams are going to be interested in Simmons and not much else at this point, in terms of what they have to offer. And he said, but he brought up Brian Burns. And he's like, he said, look, Brian Burns went for a second and then like, you know, a fifth and then a fifth pick swap. He said, and when Burns got traded, he was 25 turning 26. He's like, I don't know that they're going to get a first round, you know, offer for Simmons. And he said, part of the problem that they have is teams aren't just going to look at this season. And, you know, obviously it's got the hamstring now, which complicates things. And he said, but, you know, they're going to look for the past couple of seasons. They're going to go, if Burns is second round, you know, pick and a fifth and a fifth, you know, pick swap, and you're going to have to pay Simmons too, like you had to pay Burns, who was 2 years younger. He said, you really think they're going to get a first out of that? And my thought process was, you know, hey, there's some contending teams that could use him, and you know, maybe you take that flyer, especially if you get a feel that you can redo his deal on equitable terms. But you know, you see what Aiden Hutchinson just signed for, and that raises all boats again. And I gotta believe any team that signs, you know, redoes Jeffrey's deal to get at least 3 years of control is going to have to pay, you know, a pretty healthy sum at this point. So it's, you know, it's complicated, I think, for the Titans. I don't know that they're going to get a first round pick offer just because of the factors of, you know, the hamstring, looking at more, and not just looking at this season of his performance, looking at the last couple of seasons of his performance, and then, you know, what the trade market ended up being for a guy like Brian Burns, literally, you know, in March of 2024, which isn't that long ago.
Well, they're not getting a first, and I agree with their decision to not trade him.
Well, Joe, so here, let me ask you this. What if you, I know, like, what if you think maybe you can be the Patriots? Like, and I'm not, it's not, this isn't like a Mike Vrabel conversation, but like, let's remember the Patriots were the tank, right?
Yep.
And we looked at the Patriots last year, and we said, okay, hey, you know, Drake May looks like he's got some life, and you know, there has to be a coaching change here. And but none of us thought, you know, they could pivot quick. I didn't think they could pivot quickly, and I knew at that point too, after they had hired Vrabel, all I heard out of the organization was, you know, hey, they're gonna offload like a ton of the last couple of drafts. Like they've just been utter failures drafting players. And then that's ultimately what they did. They stripped it down, and yet they've turned, you know, so quickly. So, you know, I do think some teams, you know, and the Titans, I would put the Titans among those because they, you know, they do have some young players. It's, can we be the, you know, obviously not the NFC, you know, the team that goes to the NFC title game, but the 2024, you know, Washington Commanders, that was another team where I was like, okay, well, yeah, they drafted Jaden Daniels, but this is going to be a multi-year build for them. Well, they drafted the right coach. They caught some breaks. They turned pretty quickly. Obviously, they've come down to earth a bit this year. But the same deal with the Patriots. You know, I think they're catching some breaks right now. They got a favorable schedule. They hired a coach, and, you know, the culture's changed. And, you know, they're getting some performances out of some guys that, you know, are probably playing above their heads right now. And May's taking a big step. And so the idea that you can turn quickly – you want to have a Jeffrey Simmons on your roster, right? You know, you want, I would much rather have him than say a second and a fifth, right? I mean,
I agree.
He's a really, really good player.
I'm moving him. I'm seriously considering the first, and anything other than that, I agree about keeping him, as you know, especially if this is what he's going to be. He's found this playing weight where he's really dynamic, and he has had injuries, but I mean, you know, everything's a risk. So let me ask you this, Charles, I saw Albert Breer out here like the Browns should trade Myles Garrett. If I was trading for Myles Garrett, I think I might give Cleveland like all the first round picks. Here, have everything.
Yeah.
We'll take.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way that's happening, right? But beyond that, what is the big one that you might? If there's one big one here coming that you could envision, or maybe, you know, two or three, what would that be?
Well, so Garrett. I was told literally yesterday, I was told no, like they're not trading them, and like straight from the organization, like we're not dealing them. And it's funny because there's this rumor going around, and I have not heard it out of the Eagles, but I've heard it from a couple of other high ranking people and other teams that are clearly on the phones that, you know, Howie Roseman and the Eagles are super hot after Myles Garrett, and Howie'd give up like 3 first-round picks for him, which, you know, if it's coming for the Eagles, those are 3 late firsts. So it's like even arguable when you get through the draft process, you know, how many first round grades do you really have? Maybe you have between 14 and 18 in a typical year. And that means that if you're drafting in the late 20s, early 30s, you're not even getting a player that's really considered on your board. Unless you're lucky, you're not getting a player that maybe you have a first-round grade on. But, yeah, so that's kind of like this rumor that's out there that, hey, like Howie would really love a shot at him. But, again, I was told by the Browns they're not interested in moving him. I think the Browns would be okay if somebody wants to make a call on, like, the running back depth. You know, one of these veterans that they have in terms of running back depth, and then also defensive end depth, like edge depth, but not, you know, not Miles. So I just don't think, you know, they're interested in moving him. He's just too dominant a player right now for them. And that is definitely a team that I feel like there is a thought process internally. We do have players here. Like, you know, we can make some changes here. And if we can resolve the quarterback situation, we can be competitive very fast. Now, I don't know. It could be changes there. You know, who knows with the coaching staff at this point. I mean, I think there's definitely some things up in the air for Cleveland. When you ask me in terms of like a big player, I still think Hendrickson is like the one where, you know, he's so clearly not going back to Cincinnati after this season. So it's like, I don't know why.
Jets loss just happened.
Yeah, and it's you know, he's banged up, and he's definitely, I think, a team acquiring him. It would most likely be a rental situation, but you look at, like, San Francisco. I don't think San Francisco is completely done. Like, I know they're still kicking around the idea of adding a corner, you know, but I think if they had a shot at Hendrickson, I think they would try to make that happen. Right now their defense is playing remarkably well despite losing all these players. But, you know, I don't think they would want to – at 5-3, I think they're like, hey, if we can make a – we go get Hendrickson, we can still have an effective, maybe middle-of-the-pack defense, you know, over the course of the season. But that would be good enough once we start to get some of these offensive players healthy, you know, to be able to compete. And the NFC feels like it's – I don't want to say totally wide open, but – Joe, you said last week you picked the Chiefs like as being that team that, you know, I would not want to be anywhere near the AFC right now with the Chiefs being what they're turning into again. And so I think in the NFC you probably feel like you still have an ability to compete. Other guys, you know,
that's disrespect to the Packers, Robbie. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I'm sorry, man. We need it. I'm sorry, Robbie, but like Robbie's like right by the Packers. But like you go through the game experience with Robbie, like the first quarter he hates him, second quarter he loves him, third quarter he hates him, fourth quarter he loves him.
You know, I can neither confirm nor deny my feelings for Matt LaFleur.
Robbie, yeah. I have the receipts. I have the text receipts. Yeah.
Mostly bitching about Matt LaFleur, mostly.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Jordan Love was outstanding the other night, though.
He was.
But look, other guys, I think the Dolphins, you know, if you were like, throw me like a wild, like Jalen Waddle getting dealt would be pretty wild. But the Dolphins, I mean, there's a lot of players. I think you could make calls on there, including some of their young guys. I don't know how you feel about, like, a Breece Hall. There's another guy that I think he's, a name that would raise some eyebrows, especially depending on who, you know, goes and gets him. So,
young guy like Jalen Phillips?
Yeah, Phillips. Yeah, yeah. I think Phillips, you can make a call on Phillips for sure. He's look, at this stage, I just don't see – the recovery happens for the Dolphins, and I don't see there not being a coaching change there. I don't think there's a big second half turnaround there for the Dolphins. And then the one guy I would say, I still think there's a chance Kirk Cousins, like I think the Minnesota Vikings, now that they've lost Carson Wentz for the rest of the season, Kirk would love to go back to Minnesota. And I think he would do whatever he needed to make that happen, even if it was in a backup role. And I think if you're the Vikings, you're sitting there and you're going, we're going to roll with J.J. McCarthy, but, you know, we'll see, you know, what's going to happen here. And I do think he was legitimately injured. You know, maybe have they played it very, very conservative more than they necessarily had to? Yeah, I think a little bit. So I almost wonder if the Falcons were like, look, we're not using, like, he's not going to be, he's not factoring here. Michael Penix is coming back and we're good. Let's at least explore whether we can offload Kirk for, you know, save a little bit of money and pretty much trade him for nothing at this point. I would have to believe that you know, the Vikings would at least consider that, because the Vikings, it wasn't like the Vikings hated Kirk. You know, it was for what the money was going to be and what the commitment was going to be, it wasn't going to work out. But I think now that Kirk's been in Atlanta for a while, I think Kirk would go back to Minnesota without needing a commitment. You know, I think he loves it there enough, and there's still this chance that McCarthy doesn't work out for the Vikings and they would need, you know, Kirk down the stretch.
So, Charles, we, you know, in talking about the Titans in the show today, we've talked about, obviously, how important drafting is moving forward and how much of a hit rate they're going to have. Well, the team that's had a great hit rate is the Detroit Lions, and you mentioned the Hutchinson contract, 4 years, $180 million. What do you make of not only that deal, but the drafting that they've been able to do and how they've been able to really put together a roster through the draft that – is a good problem to have, where you're having to pay a whole lot of your picks second deals here?
Yeah, I mean they're paying everybody, but I mean it's like it's kind of justified. Like it's crazy that you know, you if you're like a Cowboys fan and you heard we can't pay Micah and pay all these other guys, and then you look at the Lions and you're like, the Lions have like $1 billion in contract, you know, guaranteed money out there. And you're like,
all for no championships.
For no championships. But I mean, yeah, it's pretty stunning when you consider the amount of guys that they've extended. But then also, like you said, Robbie, like they've just been so good drafting players. I mean, it's remarkable. And you sit there and you're like, okay, well, next year you got to pay. Let's see, Jahmyr Gibbs and Brian Branch and Jack Campbell and Sam Laporta. And you're like, at some point, somebody's not going to be able to be extended here, right? And the Lions are not, they're just like, you know what, we'll figure it out. We'll. I wouldn't be surprised if they added some AI and some capologists in the offseason to see if they can somehow figure out how to keep this thing from hitting an iceberg in terms of the salary cap. But, yeah, I mean, that's when you talk about an organization where they've just hit everything from a draft standpoint. The Jared Goff trade worked out, you know, so heavily in their favor. We were talking about on the podcast yesterday, and I said, I have a hard time remembering a team that was so much considered a wasteland when you would get to like, free agency, and it was the Lions were perennially you're not going there. Like the agents were like, we're not even going to consider, you know, Detroit as a viable place for you because you're going to go and that's the end of your career and there's not going to be any extensions after that and you just don't want to go near there. And then now it's like the complete opposite. Now it's like, it's a very, very attractive place to go because of the culture, because of the fact that they're in this Super Bowl window and now they've paid all these guys to solidify this Super Bowl window for a number of years. And then also they're paying people, you know, like agents are like, oh, the Lions are, they must be selling a lot of cars like the Ford family because, you know, that everybody, and the crazy thing is too, it's not like you're not looking at these deals and going, wow, they, you know, it's big savings there. No, they're paying like market deals for like everybody. You know, you make Aiden Hutchinson the highest paid non-quarterback. When they did the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal, I remember, oh my, there were so many teams that were like, what are they doing? They gave 4 years and 120 for Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it like screwed up deals, wide receiver deals that some other teams were doing. Like the 49ers were like, they were just like, we're screwed now with Ayuk because of the Amon-Ra deal. And yet Amon-Ra has done what?
It's a bargain.
Signed that deal.
It's a good deal.
I mean, he's been unbelievable. He's just been like nonstop, just cranks for them. So, yeah, if I'm sitting there and I'm like, hey, I'm going to hire a new general manager, I would definitely look at the Lions and go, who inside that organization right now is someone that we could pick off in terms of a general manager and kind of see if we can onboard whatever their process is when it comes to, you know, drafting and you know, culture building inside that team.
Does that process include, and I'm asking for them, but also if there's other teams who, I guess, have the same philosophy. Like, I get the feel, like, every year it seems like Lions fans are like, oh, you got to trade for this guy, you got to trade for that guy. And I feel like, obviously, so far, they really have not gotten into that. But you could make the case, you know, like, if you're this close, sometimes it's okay to part with some draft capital. Are they, like, absolutely against that? And are there other teams that are good that feel the same way?
I don't think they're against it, but I think they're they've had so much success with draft capital. Plus, remember, they're paying all these guys. They really need draft capital because they need rookie contracts. They need to balance this out because they're getting so top heavy with contracts, and now it's on both sides of the ball. They need to be able to bring in, hit on, you know, basically do what they've done, hit on young players who can come in and give you a couple of years of really, really high level play, you know, the Kirby Josephs, the Brian Branches, the, you know, Amon-Ra, you know, even like a Penei Sewell, you know, if you got a pick that high, you know, make sure you hit on them and then, you know, get super high level play for a couple of years, and it allows you to extend and do these other deals. So I think part of the reason why maybe you're reticent to part with capital is they're like, okay, well, now we're going and getting another highly paid veteran, but what are we giving up, and, you know, how much does that hurt us when we need to draft a player for depth or potentially a starting spot and balance out all the expenses that we're putting out there? Like last year, who'd they deal for the end?
Z'Darrius Smith.
Yeah, Z'Darrius Smith. Like that to me is the kind of deal I think the Lions would be looking at. I almost wondered, I was like, you know, if their line was banged up enough, if they'd call the Titans and go, hey, can we get Zeitler back? Like, you know, like just even if it's for, you know, just the rest of the season. But I think that's really more what they're hunting for at this point, is just a team that's dumping, you know, all their positions and really isn't looking for anything more than, you know, fifth, sixth round capital or a pick swap situation. And likely also like a rental, not someone that they think they're going to want to extend. So I don't know. I don't think, and by the way, I don't know if they really feel like at this stage they need to go get anything at this point. Like, I think they feel like they're in pretty good, you know, pretty good spot, especially if guys come back healthy and they can get some guys kind of on track. Like Jameson Williams right now, I think they're a little upset, like not upset, but I think they're like, we could be getting more out of this guy right now. Maybe Sam Laporta, we could be getting a little bit more consistently out of him. I think they feel like there's still some growth internally to work out over the course of the season.
So, Charles, the Ravens in action tonight, taking on the Dolphins. An interesting situation with them last week when Lamar Jackson was designated as a full participant in practice on Friday, and that was retroactively changed to limited the next day. John Harbaugh said it was an honest mistake and that there's a no foul play or nobody trying to hide anything there. But what did you make of that, and what did you make of kind of the Ravens, their explanation for it heading into the game against now I've already forgotten who they played last week. Who did they play?
Bears.
The Bears.
They beat the Bears by two touchdowns with Huntley at quarterback.
No, I mean, come on, guys. It was crazy. Like, it was – I know most fans are just like, what's the big deal over all this? But I'm like, what was the line? It was like – I think it was like six – I think it was the Bears plus 6.5.
Yes.
And then it went, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Lamar was a full participant. And then he was like, Bears plus 2. And like, it just, I think it like swung so wildly. And I was just stunned because when I saw the participation on Friday, I was like, oh, Lamar's playing. And I literally remember having a conversation on Friday with another team. We were kind of just shooting it, and you know, Lamar kind of came up. We were talking about Harbaugh. And, I was like, oh, I said, you know, but Lamar's back. You know, they got four or five kind of like games, winnable games in the next, you know, month or so. And, you know, they can turn around fast. And then all of a sudden the next day when they come out and they're like, yeah, he was a full participant, but not in a starter capacity.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's a completely weird. And it just felt like such a flashpoint because of what was going on in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the fact that this was something that moves the line, and, you know, you're just having all these conversations about, after all the NBA stuff came down, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, if you're the NFL and you're like, over the course of the season, we got like 2,000 players who come through our rosters, and there's prop bets on so many of those guys. I'm like, how on earth is the NFL going to avoid having the – it almost feels like an inevitability that there's going to be somebody that tries to fiddle with their prop bets, you know, at some point with gambling and gets caught for it. And, you know, I know people are like, well, it's, you know, you can't affect the outcome of games. Well, you don't have to affect the outcome of games now to be profitable. It's the prop bet world has made it easy, for, you know, as long as you just don't raise enough red flags and don't get, you know, don't curry enough attention, you can make money, you know, screwing with your prop bets. And, you know, so that to me, the fact that the Ravens thing happened kind of in the midst of all this, definitely, you know, just kind of felt like, man, the NFL, this is a nightmare. I'll be really curious to see how the NFL ultimately deals with it. And, you know, some teams are like, yeah, maybe, you know, or kind of giving Harbaugh the benefit of the doubt. And I think they're the ones that are willing to be generous and be like, hey, yeah, they, you know, they probably weren't screwing around, is because of the fact that it was the week that it was, because of the fact it was like the NBA stuff had just happened and everybody was talking about it. And it would just be sheer stupidity to try to screw around with what Lamar's designation was in the teeth of what had just happened with the NBA. But I'd be curious to know, like, do you got, I'm telling you, the prop bet thing to me is just, I just don't know how the NFL's, I still think it's crazy. When the NFL started to embrace gambling, I felt like the thought process was, when you talk to people around the league and kind of where it was going, that the red line was going to be players can't bet on NFL games, and they sure as heck can't bet on their teams in any way, shape, or form. And if they do, they'll be done for good. Teams will never touch them. It'll be over for good. We have two guys in the NFL right now. Calvin Ridley is one of them. You know, now I know it was a, look, it was a parlay. It wasn't a lot of money. Like, I know all the reasons for it. I get that. But you know, he did bet on the Falcons, and it was part of a parlay bet. And then you have Isaiah Rodgers. This is a guy who, you know, when he's with the Colts, did bet on Colts games, and yet now didn't bet on the lose. He didn't bet on them in like sort of this dispositive way where it's like, but again. And these guys are still in the league, so I'm like, okay, well, that's not the red line anymore. It'll screw your career up, man. It'll put you through some stuff, but it's still survivable to make that mistake, make, you know, huge error in judgment, and you can get past it. So then what's the line? Like, what's the red line? What do you guys think the red – I mean, is it just if you bet against your team, then –
That's it.
Then.
I think that's it.
Well, that's okay. Certainly, yeah.
That's a great –
I know, it's a dangerous game to play, but I think yeah. that I think that may be it.
Considering where we came from, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that the NFL was like, we are not going to talk about gambling. Yeah. We hate gambling. We're going to testify before Congress in these, you know, federal cases about gambling. Like, and then now we're to the point where the line that we thought was uncrossable, it's not necessarily uncrossable. It'll hurt you. But now that's moved to if you bet on your teams in a way where, you know, you're losing. Ah, man, it's wild.
Yeah.
The wild world we're in all of a sudden.
It's changed.
Yep.
Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. We will talk to you post-trade deadline next week, my friend.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you as well. Charles Robinson, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Lots there from Charles. We'll react to that coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.